joining us now at our studio is Northfield's Deputy Police Chief, P.T. Hyder. Good morning, P.T. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And you have brought with you Sergeant Thad Monroe.
Good morning.
Sergeant, thank you so much for coming in. We've got a lot of things to talk about with each of you. So let's start off with P.T. Why don't we go into, first of all, it's spring. We're heading into tornado season, things like that, wildfires probably as well. Let's talk about the police's role and what you'd like to communicate to the people as we enter that.
Well, it's hard to think that we're actually going to get winter this weekend, starting tonight through Sunday and the bigger one end of the week and early next week. So it's crazy that we're going to talk about tornadoes and floods and such. I mostly want to chat about that. It's Severe Weather Awareness Week is April 8th through the 12th. That week talks about, there's two big things. Monday, they chat about it. That week, they chat about alerts and warning systems, whether it's severe thunderstorms, flood warnings, winter weather advisors, winter weather storms, all those things. Each day is broken down into specific parts to try to educate the public. Monday is alerts and warnings. Tuesday, they talk about severe weather, lightning, and hail. As we know in Northfield, it seems that we get the big hailstorms from time to time, which are destructive and not helpful to our community. Wednesday talks about floods, which has been another thing in our community that's been several years of floods, which was chatted about at the mayor's state of the city the other day. Thursday is tornadoes, which is the big one. On Thursday, April 11th, they have two tornado drills scheduled that day for 1:45 and 6:45. And the main reason for that is they want to get it in the middle of the day for work settings, and then for the evening for more home settings for people that have plans, to have a plan in place. And then Friday is extreme heat and wildfires. We've had some wildfire issues actually in town. We just had a fire north of town the other day, and that's all due to just being so dry outside. And with the wind, it's just a bad combination there. The biggest thing I want to chat about with severe weather awareness is just be aware. Have a plan with your family. Have a plan at work. Have a plan at school if you're at school. All of them should have a plan if there is severe weather, tornadoes, severe weather warnings with high winds, that they're prepared for a plan to make sure everyone around them is safe.
And it doesn't really take all that much to plan these things. You can do it with the kids, the family and the kids. You know, just, I want to say a few minutes, takes a little longer than that. But if you have that plan together, the exit strategy, where to go when something's happening, makes things so much easier.
It does. And the pocket held devices that we all carry, our phones, have made it a lot easier for people to be aware of severe weather and things that are incoming. Some people, though, are not as in tune with phones or with what's going on. So I always tell people around spring, that's the thing. Start paying attention to the weather. Start watching the news every now and again. Go online quick if you have to. Mm-hmm. Look at the weather coming up to make sure you're prepared for anything, to protect your family, to protect animals, protect your house, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Once again, Deputy Chief Hyder is with us, and we're talking about severe weather. Anything else with severe weather? And or we could touch on some emergency management stuff as well.
No, nope, yeah, we can go forward to emergency management.
Okay. Tell us what's going on.
Emergency management. A couple years ago, I had to rework the whole emergency operations plan that went through the council with help of people, which is very helpful. We have a part-time emergency management director, Tim Isom, who the city has as a part-time position. I assist him in any way I can. That job is, if there is a large, if you remember the 2018 severe weather event that happened in September, the severe weather, Tim Isom showed up. I show up. People who have experience in training and emergency management will be on scene to make sure that we're coordinating the plan properly, and then also that we're documenting things for down the line for dollars that can come back federally to help for the time and the assistance that was needed.
And once again, it's all about having the plan. If you have a plan, we were talking before we went on the air, nothing's probably going to happen. But if you don't have a plan, it can really be just a chaotic situation, especially when emergencies happen.
You have to have a plan. We have to be, because if you don't have a plan, our job is to protect the public. Mm-hmm. In any kind of situation, emergency, no emergency, our job is to protect the public. If we don't have a plan, our public isn't going to be protected. We're in a good spot here. If you want to do some reading and some dry reading of emergency operations plan, mm-hmm. I believe it is on the city website for you to read through. But I feel comfortable where we're at. Obviously, I know if we did have a main situation. And emergencies can't just be weather. They could be train derailments, as we learned one time mm-hmm. here. There's a lot of different emergency stuff that can happen in our community.
All right. Why don't we move things over to Sergeant Monroe? Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, good morning. I'm enjoying it.
Now, how long have you been with the police department, the MPD now?
Well, I'm working on year number 26.
26. Were you a cop before that?
I was. I worked mm-hmm. for prior to that, I worked in Goodhue County for about a year and a half. And prior to that, 3.5 years in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Wow.
It sounds like a nice, quaint place, but there was a lot of going-ons out there.
Oh, really? That, boy, that's a long career. And it's, I don't know, maybe kind of coming to an end pretty soon?
Well, I am planning to retire sometime in July, just because no one wants a 75-year-old police officer to show up at their emergency. It just doesn't work out very well.
No, are you going to be 75 in July?
No, I will be 55, which is retirement age for law enforcement, simply because you don't want people that are unable to take care of the task showing up for emergencies. Now, that doesn't mean people who are 56 or 57 or even 65 can't do it, but it becomes less and less common that people would be able to do it.
Yeah, and I would imagine there is, within the job itself, the career itself, there's probably a fatigue factor after 3 decades between not only, not just the officer, but the whole family is involved with this.
Oh, I can tell you that there is a fatigue factor with the family for sure. I'm wired different than most people, and I really enjoy what I do. I think I could keep doing this for another 15 years. I think my wife would have something to say about that. She's lifted the heavy load at home, where I run out and do things because I get an emergency page, and whatever is happening or what the plans are, that kind of gets dropped. And she has done most of the heavy lifting with the kids over the last 25 or 26 or 27 years.
Well, it's good that you can be around at this time in your life and kind of pick up that end of the bargain.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about law enforcement. I want to ask you, as a couple of people, a couple of police officers that actually work the streets, you interact with people, you go on emergency calls, you see situations and such. Recently, there was just such a tragic incident in Burnsville with the two police officers and the medical worker getting shot. Can you tell us a little bit about how that affects you, your mind, your job, the coworkers, and such? And is not only that incident, but I guess the reaction, the public's reaction to that.
Well, that's something that we kind of have to be prepared for mentally as we go through this career. I think it's really difficult for people that are just starting out to realize that their brothers in blue didn't get to go home that night. I think that's very difficult. And it's something that you kind of have to steel yourself against, because throughout a 30-year career, that's going to happen multiple times. Unfortunately, that's just the way life is. Now, that being said, I have to tell you that that's not the experience I have had here in Northfield. I have had a phenomenal experience. People throughout my career have come up and thanked me for what I'm doing. They take time to talk to you. And it's not just, well, what was taken from your residence or tell me about the problem. It's not just the facts, ma'am, like Joe Friday used to say. Mm-hmm. It is getting to know people one case at a time. And I firmly believe that when you're talking to somebody, they have to be the most important person in the room until you're done speaking with them and until you've handled their problem. And we have been able to convey that to the people here in Northfield. And believe it or not, they send that back to us in spades. I always say people in Northfield take as good a care of us as we take of them, because they want to be policed. They appreciate the fact we're out there trying to do things to keep them safe. We promote them creating their own safe plan. So when there's an emergency, all we have to do is notify them and they can put their plan into effect, just like for Emergency Management Week.
I want to be one of those people that thank you for your service. We're going to do that right now. 26 years here in Northfield, over 30 years in law enforcement and peacekeeping. That is a significant amount of time and a significant amount of work and sacrifice and everything. So thank you.
Well, I have loved every minute of it. I have really appreciated the people I've worked with and for. I got to spend 8 years in the schools being a school resource officer, getting to deal with kids here in town. Most of those kids are now in their late 20s or their 30s, because that's been some time ago. But I still have those relationships that I developed 15 years ago with those kids in school. Phenomenal program. It's not just about enforcement. It's about building that relationship. Even the DARE program or going in and teaching classes. I used to teach a speed class in the science classes at the high school. Phenomenal way to get to know kids. And they can see one of the things that we do as law enforcement officers and how that works. And we got to go out by the street and practice. Well, that's a total great little field trip for kids that want to get out of class and see how things work.
Yeah, great. A great little field trip. Let's talk about the future. What you know, you're going to have, and maybe PT, you can you chime in here if you have some thoughts on this. Some big shoes to fill with Sergeant Monroe leaving. There's a lot of duties to do. Let's talk about the young generation that are coming through that are thinking about careers in law enforcement. And another thing that I really like is the community college collaboration that you have here in town. They have a law enforcement program that they can go through. But let's talk about the future and what... you know, who's going to start filling in those shoes?
There is one Thad. There will always only be one Thad. And I mean that well. Obviously, I mean that respectfully. Our job as administrators, as officers, is to recruit officers who fit, you know, the Northfield, what is going to make our department successful. We chat a lot about empathy, being empathetic, listening, finding people that are willing to listen, because people in the community want to be heard with, whether it's just a hello or talk about the weather or talk about a serious issue that they, is in their neighborhood that is concerning them, of quality of life issue, even something as minor as that, whether it's cars revving their engines or neighbors not, you know, mowing their lawn like they should mow their lawn. So all those things, we try to bridge that gap and have good communication. And finding officers to have the communication skills, like a Sergeant Monroe, are hard because that's a tough trait to find, but we are doing a good job recruiting, and we're doing a good job trying to find the people that fit Northfield, that's going to fit our police department and blend in with the other officers as a team to make sure cohesively we're doing the things right and make sure we're serving the people like we should be.
You know, there is every year there's always legislation going on up at the during the session. I'm sure there is right now. I don't know what the hot topics are, but from a standpoint of law enforcement, local law enforcement, our town and our county, are there some issues? There's some problems that you can spot that they either are or maybe would like to be lobbying our legislature for. Are they supporting you in the way that you would need, or could we have a few tweaks in the law and have
I think
better?
It's always going to be a balance of finding what, you know, what law enforcement is wanting for and what the legislature is willing to give, but also financially, you've got to back a lot of things, and that there's always money comes into a lot of it. We just had the recent SRO bill that is recently, you know, going to be, they looked at that and made some adjustments to that to make sure that law enforcement agencies were comfortable keeping SROs in the schools for the ones who did not. We kept ours in the whole time because we want to be a great partner with the school. That was important. But we always keep our ear to the wall. Chief Elliott does a great job meeting with a lot of the political figures around our area to make sure that our needs are things that are going to be important to have our officers and our department succeed are being met, and putting in his voice into that.
All right. What about Sergeant Monroe? What you got to retire? What are your thoughts?
We have a big change in the people that are applying for law enforcement jobs. When I started in Minnesota, when I came back to Minnesota, I came back and took a test that was 300 people for each position applying for a job in law enforcement. I talked to the chief in Lonsdale. He's had a position open for 9 months. He's had zero applicants. So it's just a different mindset about, you know, who wants to go into it and the number of people that are willing to take on, because it is a difficult job. There's a whole bunch of rules to follow and political correctness that you need to make sure that you're paying attention to. And it's not easy, but it's also a very rewarding job. So some of the people that are applying now don't have the life experience that people had when there was 300 other applicants. You could kind of cherry pick at that time and say, well, this guy's been working for another agency over here for 5 years and he's got all this life experience. We had a bunch of people from the military, and that's just not the case right now. So it's an excellent time for somebody who wants to get into law enforcement to dive into a school program like the one offered here in Northfield and to get some life experience as they move into law enforcement, or to take the life experience they have and expand on it. That being said, I have to compliment my bosses, Chief Elliott and P.T. Heider. They have done an excellent job of preparing to transition me out of the police department, because the responsibilities that I have been responsible for have been shared with other officers so that they could learn from me as far as what kind of things need to be scheduled or the training things that we need to do every year. So that there is someone ready to take over each of those positions. If you look at 10 years ago, I was providing the lion's share, probably 80 or 85% of training for the Northfield Police Department officers. And we have transitioned so that five or six or seven people are now breaking up those training responsibilities so that if one person leaves and goes somewhere else, we don't lose all our ability to train our own officers in-house, which is a phenomenal job by my bosses.
Mm-hmm. Now, in retirement, are you going to be involved in any type of matters? We have any part-time gig or side gigs that you might want to do? Or is this going to be just a cut crop? Because it seems, you seem to me like you're just, you mentioned, wired a little bit differently, and law enforcement has been, you know, kind of part of your DNA for a while.
Well, this is a difficult decision for me because I have wanted to be a police officer since I was about 9 years old, and I don't have dream number two. I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. The problem. So I'm going to get a full-time job doing something, but it's going to have to be something that makes a difference to the people I'm around. It's going to have to be something where I have an impact on people and where I can be social with people and where I'm not sitting behind a desk 8 hours, 10 hours a day. I can't do it. Not wired that way.
No. So I'm wired to sit and talk on a microphone.
Well, you're literally wired.
Well, whatever you choose, we wish you the best. Thank you once again for your service. I'm sure you'll be very good. And at your next Plan B, whatever you have, and I got to get one of those Plan Bs one of these days, too, because I don't really have one either. Yeah. Any final thoughts, guys?
No, thank you for the time. We appreciate our community. We appreciate all of our officers that work Monday through Monday, 24/7, 365 holidays. We appreciate all of their hard work, what they put in, and the care they put in the community. It's appreciated.
Absolutely. I'll echo those sentiments completely. Thank you so much for coming in. All right.